I tell you, boy, welcome to Two Fat Daleks. My name is Doc, and this is my buddy Rorschach.
Hello, everybody.
How's it going?
It is going good today. No snakes around.
No snakes in your fucking house?
Yeah.
So, real quick, because our listeners are now invested in this, what happened after you left our call yesterday to take care of the snake problem?
Well, I called 911.
And I still think that's funny right there.
Right, and which is a mistake I'm never going to make again.
Yeah.
Because they didn't catch it, and they let it go.
Oh,
and,
no.
And the cops came, and I had to hide various things, and it was a nightmare, and it's out, and the good news is we found the hole where it came in. So I've gotten some spray foam, and it's all sealed up now.
Nice.
And got mothballs outside. It's not going to happen again.
Good. So. Good. Good news.
There's a snake!
Okay. by the way, I don't even know if I told you this yet, but this episode right now is our first episode airing on More Like Radio.
Yes.
Yes. Did I tell you that already?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was springing it on you right now.
yeah. That's good news. We're all over the place.
Yeah. So we're on episode. This is episode 7 of our show because we do talk about each episode of Doctor Who as they air, after they air. And so if you want to hear our take on the first 6 episodes of this season, just go to sharktank.com. That's shark with a C. And under their film and TV section, you'll see a Two Fat Daleks entry. Click on that, and there's all our past episodes.
And it's usually on the front page.
Yeah, we're usually on the front page because we're pretty fucking slick. Yeah.
Very proud. Plowed?
Very plowed.
we're very proud there to be part of the More Like Radio Network.
Yeah, so, very much so. They air our other shows.
Exactly. Our other shows are on More Like Radio.
Yeah.
And boy, I tell you, that More Like Radio is something else there. They got a lot of big stars on that network.
And if you're listening to the download, we air this show on More Like Radio Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, last week I would have given that episode an A-.
A-, okay, cool. Yeah. Good to know. But yeah, all right. So we are talking about the latest episode of Doctor Who, Kill the Moon, written by Peter Harness. Now, he's a first-time Doctor Who writer. Previously, I think the biggest thing he wrote was this show called Wallander that was on the BBC that starred Kenneth Branagh.
Right.
It's like a cop show.
I am familiar with it, but have not seen it.
Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this episode opens with the Doctor and Clara are walking through her school, which makes me wonder, is he still the caretaker there?
Yeah, he wasn't. He didn't have his robe on.
He didn't have his robe on. He had a polka-dotted shirt on, which that struck me as like, whoa, never seen him wear that before.
Right.
But yeah, they were just walking like through the halls talking openly.
Which is something you cannot do here in America. If you don't have a child or some business in a school, go try to walk down the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get a gun to your head and you'd be arrested.
I once a year after I graduated went back to my high school to say hi to a teacher that I like, a favorite teacher.
Oh no, Doc.
And
oh,
I'm just walking down the hall and the security just tools up on their little golf cart and they're like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm just going to go say hi to this teacher. You have to go to the front. You have to sign in. Everybody has to know you're here." I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I just got out of there." I got out of there quick.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget it. Jesus.
Yeah, I was like, never mind. I don't need to visit them anymore. Clara and the Doctor are walking down the hall, and they're talking about how Courtney, the little girl from the last episode,
mm-hmm.
The Doctor had taken her on a ride last episode too. Send off the Scovox Blitzer.
And the Doctor had already forgotten her.
Yeah, he'd already kind of forgotten about her. She threw up on the TARDIS.
He said, oh, that yeah. one. Okay.
Yeah. And apparently he had said that she wasn't special. Clara noticed that it was bugging, like, Courtney. Courtney was kind of hurt by that. And so they head back to the TARDIS, and she's already just on the TARDIS, which the Doctor's a little annoyed about.
The Doctor jumps at her.
Yeah. He's like, what are you doing on here? And so Claire is trying to get the Doctor to, like, apologize. Like, oh, you are special. I'm sorry I said that. But the Doctor, of course, has to overdo it. So he goes, hey, all right, listen. You want to be the first woman on the moon?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And they take off. Oh, motherfucker. We forgot something. The episode opens with Clara delivering a message to Earth.
Yeah. Jesus, I forgot that too.
Yeah, I forgot it opened in media res, is what they call it. Whoa.
Right.
The episode opens with Clara saying, look, we have a difficult decision to make. One life versus the life of millions. And the man who would normally help with this is gone, and I don't think he's ever coming back. So, like, she's delivering this message to Earth, like, we need your help. And it's the year 2049, I believe, right?
That is correct, sir.
Yeah, 2049. So that opens the episode and goes into the credits, and then we're in the school with Claire and the Doctor walking down the hall. So that's where we are now. So they take off, and they don't land on the moon. They land on a space shuttle that's approaching the moon.
Yeah, I loved this scene because the Doctor looks out the window and he goes, oh, we're not on the moon. We're about to hit it.
Yeah, we're about to crash into the moon.
Yeah.
They land in 2049, which the Doctor figures out by just looking around in the space shuttle. They crash land on the moon. Not fatal, of course. It just kind of like hits the moon and slides for a bit. and then these like,
I guess sometime in, 2040s, the space shuttle program was reinstated.
Well, yeah, because it was, this episode, they kind of talk about how the space shuttle program was shut down.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I was trying to make a joke, but yeah, because he asked about it and she says, well, there was one. It was in a museum.
It was in like the one that they used was a museum piece. Much like his TARDIS. So they, these astronauts come in to the room they're in, and it's a lady and then these two like old dudes.
not what you would think. NASA would send up.
Right. And they like by when they walked in they already looked defeated.
Right.
Like they were always just like ugh.
They looked tired.
They looked tired and desperate.
Yeah.
But they're like, "Well, you know, what are you doing in here? You got one chance." And the Doctor's like, "Oh, one chance. Okay, here, shoot the little girl first. Or how about her teacher? And then you could shoot me, although I might just keep regenerating." And while he's saying all this, he's like jumping around in the shuttle.
Right.
And the Clara's like, what are you doing?
He's making really exaggerated steps and walking back and forth. And
he says he's testing the gravity. And he pulls out his yo-yo.
Yeah, this is my favorite scene of the show because I laughed so hard I had to stop it and rewind it because I missed some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, what's wrong with my yo-yo?
My yo-yo. And
he does the yo-yo thing, and Claire's like, it's fine. It's going down and then back up. And he goes, yeah, that's what's wrong with it. And she's like, oh, we're on the moon. It shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
And yeah, he goes, yeah, we should be like bouncing and floating around. So what's wrong with the moon? And the astronaut goes, we don't know. And he goes, it seems like it might have put on a lot of weight. And it actually, the moon was 1.3 billion tons more than it should have been, which caused the gravity to be greater.
By the way, I have to mention again, kudos to the costume people. The suits, especially on the American astronauts, looked fantastic.
They did.
And once again, you couldn't tell, especially when they walked out on the lunar surface. It was no green screen. It was just, it was an amazingly shot episode.
I heard that they filmed this like on an old volcano.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was like all volcanic rock that they're walking around on.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. It was really well done.
It
and
was.
I know every week I point that shit out, but it's just, it's stuff I'm interested in.
Good shit
I love
to point out.
I love the special effects in this episode. Even the monsters that are coming up later didn't look cheesy at all. They looked incredibly scary.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, because the moon weighs more and the gravity's greater on the moon, the tides on Earth are, like, out of control.
Right.
So it turns out they've come up on the moon to figure out what's going on, and they brought a bunch of nuclear weapons.
And did you notice that the space shuttle, while being an American, the nuclear weapons had Russian flag on them?
Yes.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Also, actually, we'll get to that. Oh, okay. So I was about to say something early. So, they brought a bunch of nuclear weapons in case there is, like, an alien threat. Because, like, I guess Earth has kind of figured out at this point, look, if something is making the moon weigh more, there's got to be a bunch of shit on the moon.
Not literally.
No, not, yeah, not duty. Like, real.
Language.
Duty was language, and yeah. Shit wasn't. So they exit the shuttle. This part was great. I love this part because Courtney jumps out onto the lunar surface and now is the first woman on the moon. And then she goes, one small thing for a thing, one enormous thing for a thingy thing.
That was funny too. And the female astronaut looked at Claire and she goes, well, so much for history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
But the doctor did promise her, and he kept his promise.
Yes, he did. So she was now the first woman on the moon. So they head to this moon base. It was a Mexican moon base.
Yeah, it was a Mexican mining base.
Yeah,
and it was a mining facility. And by the way, this episode touches a lot of things that are very sensitive for me, fears.
Yeah.
Because once they come up on this Mexican mining base, the entrance and the inside is covered in cobwebs.
Yeah.
And already my ass started drawing up because I went like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah.
And just like that the scene in the second Hobbit movie when they were fighting Shelob's children, these giant spiders.
Uh-huh.
The aliens in this episode are giant fucking spiders.
Yes.
And that
not giant, but like the size of a Rottweiler.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just it was hard for me to watch because that kind of stuff really, really creeps me out.
Yeah.
Once I saw the
how did you ever play Skyrim?
It's tough. It's tough.
I have a friend who's afraid of spiders, and he installed a mod to change the Skyrim spiders into Spider-Man.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's just Spider-Man running up to you.
But yeah, in a Mexican mining facility, no matter where, I'm sorry, but this, it does not sound safe.
Can I tell you something funny? Is, you know, I live in California and, anywhere in like the southern states, you still encounter a lot of, racism, against Mexicans because the Mexican border is like right by us, right?
Right, right.
So it's gotten to the point with that where when someone says, oh, a bunch of Mexicans, it's like you're using the thing they're called against them. Like racist people will call them – like they are Mexicans, but the way they say it in a racist tone, you know?
Right.
And so in this episode when the doctor goes – they go, oh, it's a mining base, Mexicans. I went, what?
Yeah, yeah. Doc, I did too.
I rewound it. I was like, did he say Mexicans?
Mexicans. But see, to the English.
To the English, it's like saying Spanish or Germans or.
Yeah, or French.
French, you know. Yeah. But that just completely threw me off. So anyway, they enter the base and yeah, it's filled with cobwebs. And they send one of the old dudes off back to the shuttle, cause he has to, I forget what he had to do. It was something about the warheads.
Right. And he just kind of went, okay.
Yeah, just kind of. I mean, he was freaked out too. He was like, really?
I mean, and Doc, but seriously, thinking about it though, these people have probably lost their families to floods, earthquakes, and they're on like a rescue mission. But it to them, it had to have seemed hopeless, or what the hell am I doing this for? I've lost everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they head in, and I think the guy heading back looks in like a crack in the ground or something, and a spider jumps out at him. But you don't see it. You don't see it yet.
You just hear it.
You just hear like okay, the little skittery noise.
Doc, that freaks me out, man.
Right.
And it's the same damn noise they used in the Hobbit movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why when spiders walk that are bigger than normal, there's that.
Yeah.
What is that?
I think it's the clacking of the legs.
Like, okay, well, all right, let's.
I think they're picturing hard legs like crabs, you know?
Okay, all right. Okay, Doc.
Let's I'll change the sound. I know. So the spider jumped out and was like, brrr.
Boy, I tell you, them spiders are big up there on that moon. Nobody knows. Okay.
So.
Google Bob Hope.
All right. Google Bob Hope and you'll know what that is. All you youngsters. So. They hear like the spider screech. Apparently they screech also as it's killing the dude off somewhere. And they all in the little Mexican mining base is like, well, what was that? And she calls the other guy who's kind of like waiting outside. And she's like, was that you? And he goes, I don't sound like that. And they start to kind of freak out. And then they hear that one of them is clearly inside because they start hearing all the scuttling noises.
Right.
So
they scares the doctor.
Yeah, scares the doctor even. He's like, hey, we need to get the hell out of here. So they're trying to get out this door, but it won't.
And Doc, do you
open.
Know why?
Why?
An insect that they think it's an insect is not something the doctor could ever reason with or talk his way out of.
Right, exactly.
He was scared of this thing as much as I was.
Yeah, yeah.
I doubt his asshole drew up like mine did.
Yeah. So they're trying to get through this door, but it's not opening. And then, sure enough, they look back at the entrance they came in, and the spider pops up. And it looked like a rock lava spider, because it was black but with red where the joints are.
Like, and it had a predator's mouth.
Yeah, and it had predator mouth.
Yeah.
Danny boy.
Like a four-pronged thing with teeth on the end and a mouth inside that. It's a very horrifying-looking creature.
Speaking of Predator, we have one of the stars of Predator 2 with us right now.
Hello, everybody. This is the actor Danny Glover. I was watching Doctor Who last night out in Rorschach's garage. Did everybody know that I tried to get a Predator in the color purple? A Miss Oprah Winfrey overturned my decision.
She put the kibosh on that?
Who is this? Who am I talking to?
Why, this is Doc Wheatley.
What show is this? I'm getting too old for this shit.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I might have to cut that for time.
Danny Glover.
Anyway,
No, Doc, no, don't cut it, no.
I'll try not to. I gotta definitely keep them under an hour now.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's get to this.
Yeah, anyway.
Let's quit joking around and get serious.
Let's quit futzing around here. So they are freaking out, and then the doctor figures out that the spider's vision is based off of movement, much like a T-Rex.
Much like a T-Rex!
Is that what you were thinking too?
That's exactly what I thought too. I was like, wow, okay.
Which also is not true.
Yeah.
That's just something made up for Jurassic Park.
You know, come on, guys. I mean, but you want to know why me and Doc get along so well?
Yeah.
We both thought of the same damn thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like feeling its way around the room, and he tells them not to move at all. He tells them to move slowly because it's quick movement. that the spiders can see.
and then Jeff Goldblum ran in with a torch. Yeah.
And it goes, dino droppings.
oh, my God. Listen to you. Wow.
And then the other old astronaut walks in. And he's like, hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
And the spider jumps at him and fucking murders him.
Yeah. It's a rough scene.
Yeah. And so then, like, while the spider's murdering this dude, the door they were trying to get in, like, flies open like almost an airlock. Like a lock disengaged. And so they go to run in, and then it closes again behind them. But Courtney, the little girl, is still left in the room. I say little girl. She's 15.
Well, the doctor thought she was 35, let's yeah. be fair. The
doctor doesn't know ages at all.
What are you, 35? I'm 15!
15! And then, like, for some reason, the moon gravity comes back for that scene. Like, she suddenly starts, like, floating around. It's actually less than moon gravity, because she's full on floating.
Right.
And the spider's, like, approaching her, like, climbing across the ceiling and shit to try to get to her. And then the gravity fixes itself again, and she falls face first in the ground.
That's exactly correct.
And then she the spider's about to attack her, and she pulls out she had brought Windex with her.
Right.
Or excuse me, a general brand of window cleaner.
It was blue, folks.
It was blue, though. She brought that with her in case she barfed on the TARDIS again. So she had that with her. And she starts spraying the spider, and it fucking dies.
Right.
And so
go ahead, Doc. Yeah.
There were some complaints on some of the, like, the science nerds who watched Doctor Who. And they were like, you couldn't use a spray nozzle in a vacuum. But I guess these people forgot that they weren't in the vacuum of space. They were in a fucking space station.
They were in the Mexican mining facility.
They didn't even have their helmets on. They were breathing air made by the space station. They weren't in a vacuum.
I mean, now, if she did that outside on the moon with...
And they literally reference that later, because Clara tries to use it outside, and the fucking astronaut lady says, that's not going to work.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's, like, not even spraying. Clara's trying to spray, and, like, nothing's happening.
Clara looked good in that spacesuit.
Ooh. Let's talk about Clara's fashion today.
And, guys, if you ever want to see a weird turnaround on somebody, go back and listen to the first episode.
Where Rorschach hated Clara.
Yeah. She's growing on me.
And then he was like, oh, you know what? She's not that bad. And then it was like, I want to marry her. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, this horrible, these things looked incredibly awful. She sprays it and it dies.
And it dies. And then she's like, kills 99% of germs. And the doctor's like, whoa, wait a minute. And he scans it with his sonic. And he goes, holy shit, this is an actual germ. Like, this isn't a giant spider. This is a giant germ.
Right, which all of a sudden made me start thinking, oh, God, what is it on?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like germs are – wait, did he say bacteria or germs?
He said germs. He came back later and said bacteria, but it's germs at first.
And so I kind of put the connection here – that, okay, the moon's heavier. There's very, very large germs.
Right.
Oh, God, what is this? You know?
Yeah. Excuse me. Meanwhile, Courtney is now freaked out. And
she wants to go home.
Yeah, she's probably saying the smartest thing. She was the smartest one in the situation. Can I go home?
Can I go home, miss?
Yeah.
I want to go home, miss.
Yeah.
I love that.
She was freaked the fuck out. So they take her back to the TARDIS, on the space shuttle. And put her in it. Why did I say that so weird? Put her in it. They take her back to the TARDIS. They take her back to the TARDIS.
And they throw her inside.
And they put her in it. No, they put her in the TARDIS and tell her just wait in there. Claire, in the meantime, is like, we need to take her home. And the doctor's like, well, we need to figure this shit out first. And the scientist lady is like, yeah, you're not leaving. Both of my fucking teammates are dead. I need your help. So the doctor's like, all right, decision made. We're staying. So she's just going to chill in the TARDIS.
It's time to help your people, Doctor. There's an emergency on the moon.
Hold on. Is this Tom Hardy? Okay. So they head back out. She's hanging in the TARDIS. They head back out, and they find that crack where that spider had leapt out at that one guy.
Doc, real quickly, by the way, was this the scene where she was, after they had dropped her off at the TARDIS, she was just walking around the console pushing buttons and shit?
She was like fiddling with shit.
I would never do anything like that ever.
Right, I'd be freaked out. It would take me to fucking
Neptune.
Yeah, some crazy shit. Neptune in the year 3000.
They found like this very. It looked like a little cave or something.
Yeah, and one of the spiders jumps out and tries to attack the doctor, but they're all wearing their space helmets. That's when Claire is trying to spray it, and the spray nozzle's not working now, because now they're on a vacuum. In a vacuum.
Take that, Reddit.
Yeah, Reddit. And so then the spider, though, well, the giant germ, kind of jumps off the doctor and scurries away, and they think it's because, like, sunlight hit it.
Because... Clara points out, she said the best disinfectant was sunlight, right?
I guess. I didn't get that part at all.
I didn't either. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Maybe germs don't like the sun? I don't know.
The best disinfectant I've ever heard of is Clorox.
Yeah, Clara. What do you know, you English teacher, or whatever she teaches? What is it? English?
It is English.
Okay.
No, well, English lit.
English lit, yes. Then, they shine a light into the little crack, and they see all these, like, a fuckload of these things.
Yeah, there's, like, 24. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, and that weirded me out the most.
Yeah.
Because I hate that shit you can't see, but you can see it.
Right.
And that, oh, Doc, I can't tell you how much some fucking spiders creeped me out, man.
Yeah.
But they weren't, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Germs. Giant germs. So then they walk away from there, and they find another crack, and the doctor does his yo-yo into it, and it hits liquid. And he pulls it back up, and the astronaut lady's like, there's no water on the moon. And he goes, it's not water. It's amniotic fluid.
Right.
The fluid where life begins. And he goes, I have to check this out. And he grabs the disinfectant from Clara and then just leaps into this hole in the ground.
And Clara's, and this is important, I think. This is one of the things that build up to the ending scene of this. Clara was going like, no.
Yeah, what are you doing? And yeah. She's, like, frustrated that he just, like, left them. And then she goes, like, I guess he'll be back. So they head back to the... They start, like, walking back to where the shuttle is. And then there's, like, some sort of earthquake thing. And the
right, they had noticed there were these cracks in the moon, didn't they?
Yeah, and the shuttle falls into a big hole.
Very cool special effect.
Now, the TARDIS is on the shuttle.
Right.
And Courtney's in it. I'm guessing there's some gravity stabilizers that keeps her from feeling them fall.
Because she was unharmed.
Yeah, because she was, like, fine. After they witness that, the doctor kind of leaps out of another crack. And it's just like, I figured out what this is. And they run back to the Mexican base. And Claire's freaking out and like, where's the TARDIS? And he goes, it'll turn up. And they're like, can you call Courtney? And she's like, I don't have her number. She goes, it looks like she's been posting photos of you on Tumblr, though.
Yeah.
and he goes, she can't post pictures of me online. It's like pictures of him flat out on the moon, just walking around. And so,
oh my god, can you imagine that?
He scans Tumblr, and then waves his Sonic at a screen, and she comes up on it.
Right.
So he tracked her through Tumblr to find her again.
Is there anything that Sonic Screwdriver can't do?
It can pretty much do everything.
Yeah.
Except open wooden doors. So then, you know, he's yelling at her about posting his picture on Tumblr. And then he tells her that if there's like a DVD that she can put in the TARDIS console and it'll take her right to them. So then the doctor is like, okay, this is what's going on here. These things are bacteria. They're tiny little things on something from something bigger.
Which that did confirmed that my guess.
Yeah. And did that freak you out a little too?
Well, no, because then I started thinking, okay, this is like a Cloverfield thing going to happen here. Because right. Remember, Cloverfield had all those little parasites all over
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah. So.
And by the way, I love this season has drawn a lot from different science fiction genres. This night we saw Alien and Predator and probably Moon and, I love how we're drawing a bunch of stuff like this. And then there's the complete unknown of heaven.
Right. Which wasn't even referenced in this episode.
Right.
Yeah. Last episode we had the big one that you missed out on.
Right. And yeah, I hate I didn't get to talk about that because that would have taken up another hour, I suppose. Yeah. This was a really, really good episode. Did I just bring that up early?
Yeah, that's fine. So, the doctor, shows them like a holographic image of the moon, and he shows them that in the center of the moon, is this thing, and it was all curled up in a ball, so you couldn't really distinguish what it looked like. But it looked like a dragon to me.
Okay.
It had big, like, fucking dragon wings, like, and it was this giant thing just in the middle of the moon.
Right. Okay, and, now here's where I think I'm gonna disagree with you.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like Mothra.
Oh, okay.
But Mothra's nowhere near that big.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, and it probably is a, it probably was some kind of weird dragon or something. Anyway, the doctor figures out that the moon is basically an egg.
An egg?
Yeah.
Who says it like that?
It's an egg.
It's an egg?
An egg.
Egg. There you go. He said egg.
It's an egg. It's an egg.
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 Oh, now we discovered that you say egg weird.
I've always called them eggs. I don't know. They're eggs. I want some eggs, some fried eggs, scrambled eggs.
All right, yeah.
The moon is an omelet.
The moon is an egg. It's a giant egg for this space Mothra dragon.
Right.
This is also a part that a lot of the Reddit, the people who hated the show, hated this episode. This is something they had a problem with.
Uh-huh.
Part of me's thinking their problem with it is that just they don't like that the moon is an egg. But then they started saying like that's not how eggs work. They don't increase mass as the thing inside of it grows because it's a contained system.
Ugh.
Here's my refute to that. That's how Earth eggs work.
That's right.
This is a fucking alien, and its eggshell is made of moon rock.
Yeah.
Do you think it follows the exact same rules?
How does an egg the size of a moon work? Yeah.
We don't know how this alien fucking works.
Right.
So them trying to like bring in their like, oh, well, that's not how eggs work and science and logic.
It's
science fiction. It's an alien. There's been other things on Doctor Who that break the laws of physics because yes, that alien can do that.
Right.
It's a fucking alien. So yeah, I had a big problem. I was reading people like, you're like, that didn't make any sense. Brr. It's like,
what was that?
That was them. That was them. Them that, being mad about the episode.
Didn't make any sense.
B-R-R-R-R-R.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the moon is an egg, and there's a big dragon Mothra thing in it. So the doctor's saying the moon is hatching soon. That's what's going on here.
Which is what's causing the earthquakes and the gravity and,
Yeah, the moon is hatching. It's causing all the, the earthquakes and the gravity's higher because of this fucking thing is in the center of it now. This thing that grew giant. The lady astronaut goes, how do we kill it? Like right away. Just like, how do we kill it? And that's where I see clearly the doctor turns. He's like,
Yeah.
Whoa, okay. There's this fucking thing we just discovered. And the doctor even says that it's probably the only one of its kind. Something new that he hasn't seen before. And he even said, like when he was describing it, he said, this is beautiful. It's something I've never seen before. It's new. And immediately the Earth lady says, how do we kill it? And you can see the mood shift in the doctor, like almost like a, of course, that's all the Earthlings care about is how do we kill it?
Right.
And he kind of, you could see him getting annoyed and, but he kind of does the, instead of like yelling at her, he does this sort of like, well, I mean, you got a bunch of nuclear warheads. You could kill it. You know, it would never see, it would never feel the sunlight on its back and it would disappear. It's probably the last of its kind. So it would just die off and be, and not exist anymore. Like trying to guilt her without yelling at her, you know? Almost in a defeated way. Like he just felt like, ugh, humans are useless.
Yeah. It was a weird scene.
Yeah. And then Clara and Courtney are like, well, it's like this fucking baby. It's not, we don't know if it's malicious. We don't know if it's going to hatch and attack Earth. It could hatch and just fucking take off.
Now, in defense of the astronaut woman, millions of people were being killed.
By the tides?
By the tides and the earthquakes on Earth. She doesn't know whether this thing's going to pop out of the moon and come down and stomp around like a kaiju.
I wouldn't say, I doubt millions of people were being killed at this point.
Well, displaced?
Probably a fuckload.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
because of all the flooding.
We can agree on a shit ton.
A shit ton.
Yeah.
the perfect scientific example. A shit ton.
But you understand what I'm saying. I mean,
Yeah.
It would be.
No, I do.
And that's why she wants to kill it.
Right.
I don't think she's being like a typical American, like, we'll shoot first.
I was just saying Earthling.
Right. But, you know, we'll gun them down and then let God sort them out.
Yeah.
God? Did I say
God? yeah. So the doctor just kind of sits down and Clara's like, so what do we do? And the doctor's like, what? She's like, what do we do? And he goes, we don't do anything.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, what do you mean? And he goes, I'm an alien. It's not my planet. It's not my moon.
Yeah. I love this. He goes, you guys are from Earth. You deal with it, basically.
Yeah. He's pissed.
Yeah. He's angry.
About that she just instinctively was like, how do we kill it? He's mad about that. So he goes, look, you guys sort it out. I'm going to take off. It's your planet. You figure it out.
Right. I love that. It was so fitting with 12's character. But it still, I mean, he was like, I don't, you know what? You deal with it. I mean, he threw his hands up. Kinda.
Yeah. Yeah. He was frustrated with the Earthlings. it's perfect for 12's character, but it's totally different for the Doctor. Which I think was made this kind of an important episode.
Right.
So the TARDIS lands because Courtney did the DVD thing. And she comes out and he goes, look, and then you got a student. So now you have three people who can figure it out together. And, he takes off.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, he's a tempestuous doctor.
Yeah. And Clara's like pissed. You can see she's pissed. She's like, don't leave, doctor. And he's like, yeah, no, you guys sort it out. It's not my problem. See ya. And he takes off.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was absolutely amazing.
So Clara is, they're like, all right, what do we do? And Mission Control from Earth calls. She's like, how is it on Earth right now? And he goes, pretty bad. Yeah, pretty bad. He almost seems defeated, too. Like, yeah, it's, things are fucked up.
He was like, I mean, Doc, it was even worse than that. He was like, it's bad. Yeah. And then he, like, paused, and it's really bad. Yeah. So
Claire is trying to figure out their options, and she's like, look, we... the doctor said before they left, if they kill the creature, the dead creature body would just stay where it is, and the gravity from that would keep the moon together. And then if it hatches, and there's no more moon, there's just no more moon. So Claire's trying to figure out, like, well, what would that mean? So there's no tides. There wouldn't be tides anymore. If the moon was just suddenly gone. And they're like, well, we could deal with that. I mean, if there were no tides, is that necessarily a bad thing?
Well, I hate to be Reddit here, but it's a little more complicated than that, because I remember Neil deGrasse Tyson got asked this question once, what if the moon blew up? And basically the moon is holding the ocean back. And if the moon was gone, there would be just, you know, massive flooding and shit.
Claire doesn't know that shit.
Right. She's a good girl. But all she knows is Jane Austen.
So, she's like, we got to figure this out. So she asked the mission control guy, hey, can we broadcast right now? And he's like, yeah, okay.
This is really cool.
Yeah. And then it's the scene from the beginning where she's talking to Earth.
What did you call it? The Latin term?
In medio res.
Right. And it's the exact same scene we saw right before the credits rolled.
Yeah.
Where Clara is expressing.
She's telling the Earth what's going on.
Yeah.
That the moon is an egg. There's a thing in the center of it that's about to hatch. Do we kill it so that we keep the moon? Or do we let it hatch and see what happens? If we kill it, we could be taking an innocent life. But we could also be endangering Earth. Even more than it's already in danger. So she's like, we want to know what you think on Earth, so vote with your lights. If you want to kill the creature, turn your lights off. And if you want to take a chance and let it live, leave them on. And we'll see.
And you have 45 minutes.
And you have 45 minutes. So they wait like a full 45 minutes.
What the hell was everybody doing? I mean, that had to have been national news. It had to be on BBC, CNN. Yeah,
well, they were probably all debating, I guess.
Yeah, well, listen, Mom, I don't know. Let's cut
and by the way,
off.
here's what I was thinking the whole time. You know there were people who wanted to leave their lights on, but the fucking power company said, nope, fuck that. Yeah. So they, sure enough, after 45 minutes, like, all the lights on Earth are out.
Yeah, they start going out, and I was like, oh, no!
Yeah.
I was hoping that at the time,
that humanity
on Earth,
would be humanity, like, yes, let it live.
Let it live.
Yeah.
But then I remembered it's only 2049. It's just like 28 years from now. So
yeah.
We're not going to be that evolved by then, folks.
Right. The scientist astronaut lady's like, all right, we got to do it. And pretty much if she arms the nuclear warheads, they all die too. Her, Clara, and Courtney.
Right.
But it's like a sacrifice to save humanity. So she arms it and, right before it's going to go off, Clara and Courtney both go, wait, and they hit the stop button at the same time.
Which I don't know how they knew where that was, but,
it was
like
red.
Okay.
There was one green, one red.
They stopped it at like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And Clara and Courtney were like, wait a minute.
Yeah. As soon as they stopped it, the TARDIS lands like really quick.
Yeah.
And the doctor goes, you three, in. And they jump in the TARDIS. And then they're like, what's going on? And he goes, we're going to find out. And they land back on Earth to watch the moon.
This was an incredible scene.
Yeah.
It was almost beautiful to see the moon explode.
Can I tell you something, too, that we completely forgot to mention?
Yeah.
Earlier in the episode, Clara is questioning, well, does the moon doesn't explode or hatch in 2049, we would have known about it, right?
Yeah, she said, I've seen it in the future.
Yeah, and he goes, how do we know that's the same moon? How do we know it could be a different moon? It could be a projection or a painting.
Or special effects.
Yeah, and then he talks about, and they've talked about this on Doctor Who before. He didn't use these terms, but it's some time is fixed and some time is in flux. Fixed points can't be changed. And in flux is the stuff they can change because it's a gray area. The doctor doesn't know what happens.
Right. And earlier the doctor had said there's gray areas for
Yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what he was referring to is like this time's in flux. This is a gray area. He doesn't know what happens this day because it's still being decided.
Which is weird.
Yeah. So that's them deciding it is what is going on. So he doesn't know what happens yet. So they land on the beach though, after, the planet's hatching, the moon is hatching, and they land on the beach and they see this creature emerge that kind of looks like Mothra dragon.
Right.
Sure enough, it just fucking flies off. It starts flying around a bit and the moon just dissolves. Like, there's nothing flying towards the earth, no moon rocks flying towards the earth. You know, it was fine.
Yeah. Everything was fine. And it was an amazing special effects scene. It was beautiful. And the dragon just kind of flew away. And then Courtney looked up and goes, oh, look, the moon's back together.
Yeah. And this creature laid another egg.
Right.
So we do have a new moon now.
And the doctor said it was a new moon.
Yeah. So they ask the doctor, like, so what happens now at this point? And he does this cool thing where he sort of like meditates almost for a second.
Yeah.
He closes his eyes and is like, humanity spreads out among the stars. This is like, I love this part. And it endures. And it's all because of this day in 2049 where we decided to look up and I guess chose to let this fucking moon creature live.
Yeah.
And it made us want to explore the stars, where we had kind of given up at that point, which is kind of what's going on in real life right now. Cause they did literally shut down the shuttle program.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing. It's very disappointing. They leave the astronaut lady there because she's in her own time, although NASA's 2,000 miles away.
Yeah, right.
but they still leave her there. Then they drop off Courtney.
Clara, this entire time, is extremely pensive.
Yeah, she's not, like, smiling and not like, yay, we did it. She's just kind of like, yep.
She doesn't even celebrate. I mean, she's pissed.
Yeah. So sure enough, when they drop off Courtney and it's just Clara and the doctor and the TARDIS, and he tries to take off and she like just walks up to the TARDIS and shuts it off. And she's like, what, how much did you know?
She goes like, oh my God, this is a great scene.
Yeah. And he's like, I didn't know anything. And she goes, doctor, tell me what you knew or I will smack you so hard you'll regenerate. And he goes, I knew that eggs aren't bombs. I knew that when things hatch, they typically don't destroy the nest. And I knew that you would make the right decision because I have faith in you. And she says, do you hear music playing in your head when you say rubbish things like that?
Yeah.
She's and by the really way, mad.
And this was really good acting. What's her name, the actress?
Jenna Coleman.
This was a
great fucking scene.
Yeah, for her. I mean,
she was perfect.
She was boiling over
at
this. I mean, you could just see the tears welling up in her eyes, the anger. And she
crushed this scene.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, did you do this for Courtney? And he's like, no, but although she does go on to like blah blah blah, and she actually becomes president and shit.
Which I wonder if that was the female president they were talking about
earlier.
Yeah,
we forgot to mention that in 2049, there's a female president. So that was, I was wondering that too, if that was Courtney. But yeah, and then she interrupts him and she's like, shut up. I'm tired of listening to you.
And I couldn't believe this was happening.
This was the fucking greatest. And she's like, what you did, you abandoned us. And it was patronizing. It was patronizing because you're like, oh, you're a big girl now. You take care of it.
Right.
Pop off and go take care of it. And he's like, no, I was trying to show you that I had faith in you. And she's like, you've spent so much time on Earth. That's your moon too. So you, when something like that is happening, you need to stay and help. I'm so butchered. Like, her speech is so good, and like paraphrasing it, it's just not doing the job.
She, she's crying, she's really, really, she basically just tells the doctor to fuck off. I mean, she's like, listen, I'm done with this.
Yeah. She tells him, like, to just leave, pretty much.
Just go away and leave. She doesn't say it, but it's basically just leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah, so she tells him to, like, buzz off. She pretty much tells the doctor, fuck off. I'm tired of your bullshit. And she leaves the TARDIS. She's crying. The doctor looks like, I don't know what the fuck I did wrong.
Yeah.
And she heads into her classroom. I wish we could have really captured that scene for what it was, but it was so well written. You just have to watch it again if you're listening and you're like, bah, just watch it again.
And it was a pivotal scene.
It was the best scene in the episode. It was just so, it was like proper drama.
And I love how we went from the comedy of what's wrong with my yo-yo to that at the end.
This is, by the way, the first companion in Doctor Who history to pretty much be like, fuck you, I quit.
Right.
So she heads back to her classroom because they had landed at school because he had dropped off Courtney there. So she heads back to her classroom and Danny shows up. And he can tell that, like, something's up. And it, like, cuts to her explaining to Danny, like, well, I'm done with him. I told him. And then he's got this, like, grin on his face. And she's like, why are you smiling? And he goes, because you're not done with somebody if you're still mad.
Right.
If somebody can still make you that angry, you're never done with them. After you calm down, then tell them you're done with them. And then tell me. And they hug and whatever. And then she just goes home and looks at the moon outside.
Which is a really cool scene because it's a full moon.
Yeah.
And she's like looking up at it and she knows what's in it.
She knows it's a big egg.
Yeah. She knows it's a big egg. So.
Egg. Yeah. But yeah. So the, Clara pretty much breaks up with the doctor and is like, just, I'm not going to fucking hang out with you anymore.
And then the previews start for next week. And guess what, folks? No Clara.
No Clara. And the doctor is on the Orient Express in space.
With a mummy.
Yeah. But yeah, fucking this episode, I think, to me, this is right up there with Listen as one of the best in the season.
Listen. What was that one?
Listen was the scary shit, and it turns out it was just Clara under the bed.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. It's right up there with it. I give it an A. And Doc, what do you give it?
An A plus.
A plus. Wow.
Yeah. Which is, I think, what I gave Listen.
Yeah, and I gave Listen an A plus.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, Reddit's pretty torn right now.
I don't know why these people struggle with this shit so bad.
Well, it is.
First and foremost, it's entertainment, folks.
I think there's a lot of people who forget that Doctor Who is a kids show. So they watch it and they're like, the science is wrong.
Listen, I know I'm paraphrasing somebody, but sometimes you just got to let art flow over you.
Right. So they just had all sorts of problems with stuff like that. But then there's the people who have a problem with the doctor acting out of character. So they don't like the episode because of that.
In what way?
Just that my doctor wouldn't just leave them. You know, it's these tenant people.
Yeah, well, this is a different doctor.
Exactly. And then, so you have those people who don't like the episode because of that. And then you have the other people who in their eyes, the doctor can do no wrong. So they're mad at Clara for getting pissed.
Oh.
Yeah, there's those people who are like, how dare she yell at the doctor like that? How dare she quit the TARDIS? Good, we don't want you on the TARDIS.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's just, you know, it's... I don't get it. Fuck it. I know reviewers are loving this episode, like actual like TV critics.
Yeah, I read some of those this morning. But I one of the things I thought was so great about Doctor Who as a concept was that each doctor's the same but different. And I can't believe people don't get that.
Right. Like I remember when Smith showed up in his trailer, it showed him holding a handgun. And they were like, oh, what happened to the man who never would? And it's like, 10 was the man who never would.
Right.
You ever watch 1 through 7? There were constant gun holding. Were so many fucking space lasers that he held. Fucking all sorts of shit. 10 was the man who never would. And 10 did hold a gun. So don't get mad because 11 is holding a gun. But yeah, so, fucking Kill the Moon, great. To the people who didn't like it, sorry, but you're wrong.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah, like, if you didn't like this episode, I don't know what to tell you, man.
I mean, I'm sorry to tell you, but Doctor Who's entering its golden age, I think.
It's this consistency this season has been very, like, the worst episode is the Robin Hood one. And the worst thing about it was the arrow scene, hitting the side of a spaceship. Other than that, it was pretty fun. There's been no episode so far that I've flat out hated, which has happened. Matt Smith had episodes that I hated, and he's my favorite doctor.
Yeah, I hated the Robin Hood one, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so next week's Mummy on the Orient Express is what it's called.
Jesus Christ, what a title.
I know, it seems like it'll be a fun one. Mummies are always solid. Fuck yeah. I think we're good. You can follow me on Twitter at DockyWeets. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/DockyWeets. And you can hear me on the Shy Kids podcast at theshykids.com. Our site just got a new makeover. It's quite lovely. And you can also hear us on morelikeradio.com. This is the Shy Kids is on Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Rorschach7, RORSCHACH7.
Yeah.
And I am on the It's All About Me show on morelikeradio.com.
Right. Which is on right before the Shy Kids. That would be 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's how that works. Okay. Play the sound effect.